Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio with hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt it all starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for February the 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founders. Yes, indeed, we use the checks and balances wisely put in place by the founding fathers, and absolutely, we use the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, as our guide. We reject revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, and absolutely exhort you to help us, would you please? It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, let's kick it all off with a quick recap of yesterday's show, available online at libertyroundtable.com. Donate today if you find it of value, would you please? We talked about Mike Lee escaped injury on the train wreck, and so did most. One person died. What a tragedy. They act like it was an accident. But you got to wonder, so many congressmen, was it the intelligence community sending a veiled threat? I don't know. A lot of it's speculation at this point, but it sure is strange, isn't it? We'll keep an eye on that ball just for you folks. I'm not trying to start speculation, but I am saying to rule that out instantly is a mistake as well. Trey Gowdy, leaving politics, won't seek re-election, says he likes the justice game better than the political game. Don't blame him. Republicans are leaving in droves. We'll keep an eye on that ball as it unfolds as well. Republicans break all-time off-year fundraising record under the Donald. So you can, you know, blame Donald, say he's not good for politics, but he sure can help raise a bunch of cash. They've raised more money for the Republicans in an off-election year than ever. Las Vegas shooting, they claim it a person of interest now. Douglas Haig. Why do they say there was nobody of interest before? They lied, huh? Also, the coroner, John Futenberg, denies court order to release the full autopsy report. Why? Why won't they release the autopsy report on Stephen Paddock? Paddock's body, believe it or not, was cremated December 21st. How can the autopsy report not be finalized when the body's already cremated? Furthermore, why would they be in such a rush to cremate the body? Very strange stuff surrounding that Paddock murder. We told you it was weird from the start. Who's involved? What cover-ups are involved? I don't know. But I know this. You can't trust the FBI and the Justice Department. And whenever they're involved, you got to think shenanigans. You got to think cover-up and manipulation and dishonesty. You say, Sam, why would you rest to such harsh judgment against your government? Well, listen to the rest of today's broadcast and you might find out. For starters, they literally railroaded the Bundys. Thank heavens for a whistleblower. Thank heavens for good, honest Americans standing boldly. The judge finally admitted the FBI was so involved in criminal dishonest behavior, hiding, what do they call that, exculpatory evidence, to the point where they had to declare a mistrial for the Bundys after 2 years of holding them without a fair trial. Where's the criminal activity and the accountability documented here? What's going to happen with that, huh? No wonder we don't trust the FBI. By the way, we'll get to the broadcast details about this, but there's lawsuits now over the Finicum murder by the FBI and the folks in Oregon as well. Oregon State Police and FBI in bed together for that murder of Finicum. Now the Bundys and others are coming out swinging, and good for them. Let's get to the bottom of that truth, too. What about the Hillary Clinton scandal and the sale of uranium, documented by the president himself? Where's the accountability for that stuff? All right, anyway, Paddock's body was cremated, but they're not willing to issue the full autopsy report. Does that build your trust, ladies and gentlemen? It certainly does not mine. By the way, Andrew McCabe, that was the FBI guy. Yeah, he waited at least a month before admitting, before telling Congress about the new emails that the Clintons had, the classified ones, before they were announced to Congress that they existed. When they discovered new ones, he waited well over a month. And then the mainstream press got in bed with the Democrats and literally lied, manipulated, and made it sound like, oh man, the FBI director's involved in a scandal to release it days before the election. What gives? What was the timing behind that? Why would you in the FBI, if you discovered new emails, wait over a month to tell Congress? Why doesn't Congress jealously guard their power and say this is out of line, you're fired, to these people? But again, no accountability. The United States, the communist nations of North Korea and China all together on what we call today abortion, really the murder of the most innocent among us. The pro-death agenda, China, North Korea, and the United States in lockstep, pretty much. What a disgrace. Are Trumponomics really good for blacks, is the question. Well, the point made by this incredible author, her name is Star Parker for WND.com, are Trumponomics really good for blacks? She says Trumponomics are good for Americans. Boy, is that spot on. All right, we talked about this tech sergeant. Her name is Geraldine. She does this video rant about airport sergeant gets suspended. She's complaining about female black females with attitudes. Can you have an open discussion if you got black female enlisted folks with attitudes? Can you talk about that? Well, she got suspended over it. I guess they're just going to say she's a racist and dismiss the point, huh? Hour two of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday, available on demand at libertyroundtable.com. If we provide value to you, reciprocate and fund us. Donate today, libertyroundtable.com, libertynewsradio.com. The second hour, Trey Gowdy's cumulative Freedom Index score is only 74%. The longer he's been in Congress, the worse it gets. Isn't that typical? The Clintons' good buddy, Strobe Talbot, linked to what they call a second Russia dossier. I didn't know there was more than one, did you? Drudge Report talks about Trump's most watched State of the Union, and boy, do I got an update on that. The New York Times gets caught in a lie in their own pages. I'll tell you about it in seconds. We also talked about the record number of condoms will be distributed during the Olympics. Where's the morality in America? We're number 17. See who's number one. It's a John Stossel article. Very interesting. We're not talking about how free America is. We're talking about how, not free America is? Wow. Judge pokes fun of claims of pro-abortion. It's a lawsuit by, documented by Bob Unruh over at WorldNet Daily. The judge is a pro-death guy, isn't he? Wow, we talked about a gamer that got paralyzed from the waist down, literally sitting for, 20 hours playing games, had to be hauled off to the hospital. Wow, what a disgrace. Google promotes Carter G. Woodson. Who is this guy? I guess he's supposed to be the founding father of black history, because, of course, they're celebrating Black History Month. Can we celebrate white history? What if we could just celebrate American history? Oh, isn't that what the 4th of July is about? All right. Anyway, I thought the father of black history would be Cain. Of course, I'm probably incorrect, but biblically factual. All right, there you have it. Gangster Baltimore cops were literally robbing citizens in their own homes. Documents Amber Randall of the Daily Caller. Wow. We also talked about this Nashville mayor. Megan Barry admits to an extramarital affair. The guy she had an affair with, the chief of security, does step down in retirement. But this lady says, Megan says, hey, I'm not going to retire. I admitted to it. It's a horrible thing, and I'm moving on. Not stepping down either. See, we the people ought to come unglued over that. Dishonest, cheating elected officials, cheating in their own life, having the audacity to run around and suggest that it has to do with their personal life, not their public life? What a disgrace. All right. The White House says a strong economy makes for a strong nation. I agree that economy's good, but you can't discuss that without discussing honest money, Donald. The folks at the White House should know better. Also, we're only going to make America great again if we make America moral again. Let's be very, very clear about what the real solutions are. If we turn to our God, we turn to our families, the traditional God-ordained family, and we turn to our country and the traditions of our founding fathers, we shall make America great again. If we don't obey those formulas, if you will, if we turn our backs on what made the success of America in the first place, we will not have success, folks. And I'm not trying to be negative, but we've got to obey God's laws if we want his blessings. Okay? If we want to focus on what really matters, we need to focus on morality. We need to focus on the fundamental unit of society, the family. Those are the keys to success, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place yesterday. It is available on demand at libertyroundtable.com, libertynewsradio.com. Donate if you believe we provide value to you. Do the same and support us. Every penny will be used as sacred funds to grow our presence as the new media takes center stage. And we tell the tale of news the networks refuse to use and stand for the greatest country on the face of the earth. LibertyRoundtable.com.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. I want to talk about this. We've talked about it plenty of times, but I'm going to talk about it again because it's vitally important. So I went off on the mainstream press and on the, quote, news rating services, where they literally use some of these ratings services to determine value, to determine how many viewers or listeners or readers you have. And I proved in multiple occasions over the last many, 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 many years how they peddle fake news. They don't know how many viewers they have. They don't know how many listeners they have. They don't know how many readers they have. And everybody believes the lie that they know. Oh, no, Sam. In the old days, they couldn't know. But in the digital world, absolutely they can know. Sam, aren't you caught up on the digital technology of this? Come on, Sam. Don't you realize? And I stopped them, and I just have to absolutely, in their face, say that's a lie. It isn't true. It's fake news. You're being deceived. And I challenge anybody in the world to go up against me technologically on this, because I will win. And believe it or not, more and more and more evidence comes out proving my point, Kurt. I've been first. You've been first with me on challenging this. No one's challenged these statistics like we have. Now it's Nielsen that does all the ratings. It used to be the Arbitron folks in radio that we used to mock. And every time we talk to anybody about advertising, they come back and say, well, what are your Arbitron ratings? What are your Nielsen ratings? What is your whatever? And they go on and on and on and on about all this stuff. Oh, how many pay-per-click do you have? And how many, you know, CPMs? And in other words, how many impressions per thousand are there? And all this other kind of stuff. And they go on and on and on. And I just blow that narrative to pieces, Kurt. And people at first argue with me. When I get done, there's no argument left. Not because I'm right, but because facts are facts. And just because I'm acquainted with the facts, others need to be acquainted with the facts, too. Well, Kurt, the big Super Bowl discussion and the big Donald Trump ratings discussion and how many viewers Donald has when he does this and that is what's bringing this to the forefront. And the mainstream press tries to discredit the Donald, but they expose their lies inadvertently in the process. All right, there's a New York Times article that I want you to look up, Kurt. It's from the National Desk section today. The headline is, quote, another tweeted boast about audience size that's well off the mark. It's by Arlene Sullivan and Linda, I don't know, Kiyu, something like that. Dateline Washington, and they go off at the top of the article saying, President Trump on Thursday boasted incorrectly that, well, his State of the Union address drew the highest number of viewers in history. He was off by millions of people, they claim. He had claims that he had the highest number, but he didn't. And so they go back and they talk about Clinton and Bush and Barack Obama and all these people. And they literally say even Barack's speeches were higher and Bush's speeches were higher. And they throw out all these numbers. Now, they then make a statement in the middle of the story. It's a one-liner. A one-line truth-telling serum that the New York Times admits to saying what I've been saying all along. And then after the one-liner of admission, they go back to their lies for the rest of the story. So imagine a story that starts out with a very deceptive headline. Donald Trump doesn't know. He's wrong on the tally. He's clueless. And then they go off and try to tell you how they know he's clueless. And then they have one line of admission of the truth in the whole story. And then they go back to their lies for the rest of the story. And if you're not very savvy as a reader and very careful in your understanding, you miss it. That's what they want. They want you to miss it. And they want to admit the truth so they can't say that. Well, so that we can't say they're liars. But I say they are liars, Kurt, and I caught them in their lie. Now, did you find this story, Kurt? This is an important piece. I want you to find it because I want you to send this to the world. Now, read the top.
All right.
And then there's one line. Okay? They say, even factoring in online streams, President Trump, his speeches would not outrank Barack Obama. Then they say a phrase, Kurt. Can you find that phrase?
Yeah.
It's going to be hard to find. They don't want you to find this, but listen carefully to this.
It is impossible to do a conclusive tally, comma, but the White House's official stream of Mr. Trump's address on YouTube has drawn roughly 51,000 views, while Mr. Obama's 2010 address has been viewed 524,000 times.
So first off, why is the Donald's rough and Barack's exact, Kurt? I just want to know that. I also want to know, why would they say it's impossible to, what do they say about a tally, Kurt?
To do a conclusive tally.
So it's impossible to do an inclusive tally, but they spend the first how many lines? How far down is this line in the story, Kurt? Like
it's several paragraphs down.
I don't even know, in the middle? Like 40% down or something?
Yeah, pretty close.
You know, I don't know, but all I'm telling you is, so you read this first headline in this big old rhetoric, and they throw numbers out as if those numbers are factual. Then they admit right here it's impossible to do a conclusive tally. It is impossible for them to give you a conclusive tally. And then they tell you that Barack's numbers are kind of accurate, and Donald Trump's are, what do they say, Kurt? Rough estimates? Now, do you know why the difference in the two, Kurt? By the way, do you know why one's a rough estimate, one's just a exact tally, so to speak?
One's their pal and one's not.
That's part of it, yes. In other words, I think that's a lot to it, but I also think it's because of time, Kurt. In other words, they know for a fact that a lot of people get around to maybe viewing the presidential address, State of the Union, if you will, maybe a week later. They also know that people download it and rebroadcast it a lot. They know that people archive it. They know for a fact that the real tally today is massively different than the real tally of yesteryear. Comparing the 1993 Clinton addresses when everybody watched live versus when people watch on demand whenever they want to, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They know the game is so different that they know they don't even know the answer. But my problem is Donald makes a claim, which I'm going to debate Donald too, Kurt. I'm not going to defend Donald. Donald says he's the most viewed in history. Donald doesn't know, Kurt. That's fine. I accept that reality. But these people act like Donald doesn't know, and they do know. Except they admit the fact neither of them know, Kurt. Neither Donald nor these thugs in the New York Times know the truth. They admit it. Read that line one more time. It is impossible. Did you hear that word? Think about that. It is impossible. Go ahead, Kurt.
Yeah, it says, it is impossible to do a conclusive tally.
Now, don't they make it sound in the whole story, though, that their tallies are pretty conclusive and that Donald's clueless, Kurt? I mean, every other thing gives, like, solid numbers. They don't say guesstimates or wild guesstimates or rough suggestions or ideas or, you know, they don't do anything. They don't have margins of error in those things or anything, do they, Kurt?
No.
So they make you believe that Donald's clueless. That's their whole headline. He doesn't know. He's lying. He's dishonest, if you will. Then they roll out numbers as if they have all the facts. Trust us, we're the ratings service guys. But right in the middle of the story, they tell you flat out, it is impossible. It is impossible to get an accurate tally. What do they call it? What tally do they say, Kurt? What word do they use?
A conclusive tally.
Right. So when we say impossible and conclusive, I got a question. That's pretty definitive factual language at that point, isn't it, Kurt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's the truth now, Kurt? Their whole story or the line in the middle? I submit to you they're peddling fake news, but they're putting the grain of fact in the middle of that story so that no one can say they peddled fake news or lied, but they know 99.999% of anybody will never get this, will never highlight this or point this reality out. I'm just a very careful reader. Whenever I see a ratings battle going down, I say, I want to see who's lying on which side. And in both of these cases, the New York Times, Nielsen ratings, all these services and the Donald are all lying in this case, Kurt, aren't they?
Whole lot of lying going on.
Sounds like I'm the only truth teller amongst the group. They don't have any idea what the real numbers are. It is impossible for them to give you a tally that is definitive or that is, what's that word, Kurt?
True. They call it conclusive.
Conclusive, right. Now, I want to focus on the rest of the story in a second. Because then they start out and they say this. But wait, there's more, they say, Kurt. And then they go into a Nielsen ratings lie. We'll tell you about it in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, one inning more to play. Then all 5,000 throats recoiled upon the flat for Casey. Mighty Casey was advancing to the bat. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped.
"That ain't my style,"
said Casey.
"Like what?"
the umpire said. She signaled to the pitcher. Once more the spheroid flew.
"I think I'll just ignore it."
And the umpire said,
"Right to."
Now, something different than we read about in the poem. Casey thought of Mom and Dad and time she spent at home. She relaxed, she smiled, her confidence, it grew, and above the roar of the crowd, she heard her dad shout,
"Follow through!"
Somewhere, men are laughing and children having fun. And tonight, there's joy in Mudville, for Mighty Casey hit a home run.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kurt Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, "Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh?" My response is, you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kurt Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Kurt, the rest of the article says, wait, there's more. And they proceed to double down as if they have the facts when they admitted right there that they don't, Kurt. They claim it's impossible to really do an accurate tally. They blatantly admit it. But then in the rest of the article, they say, but wait, there's more, Kurt. And they literally go into some more numbers on the speeches from presidents, and they say Bush outranked them all. Bush's speech was awesome and had more viewers. But the more people cut cords, the less they have a reality check on some of these things. The more their traditional ratings tallies go out the window. They're not accounting for all that stuff. But then they go into even more strange things, Kurt. The inauguration. Did you see all this?
Yes.
And what they're doing, really doing, in my mind, is grasping for straws. What they're trying to do is mix all this together, and they'll say the ratings are maybe not factual, but they're legitimate, just like our guesses of audience sizes and crowds in person, just as, and they even finish the article by going all the way back to World War II, Kurt. It's amazing at the straws they're reaching for on this one. How do they know how many people attended the inauguration, Kurt? They claim that Trump lied about that, too. Now, how do they know, Kurt? Mm-hmm. Listen, read carefully. How do they know about Trump's inauguration? They claim Donald lied about that, too. But it's interesting in this story. How do they know he lied? And here's the evidence
says,
they provide.
During his first full day in office, Mr. Trump grossly overestimated the size of his inauguration crowd. You know, they never call him President Trump, you know. Saying that up to 1.5 million people attended, when in fact aerial pictures showed it was much less.
So let me just stop you there, Kurt. So they're going to rely on aerial photos to get an accurate, definitive count? And they're going to say Donald's lying, but their photos are definitive, Kurt? How accurate can you be in a, quote, aerial photo count? I mean, I'm telling you right now, this just proves they don't know what they're talking about. Donald's lying because we don't believe what he said. But then believe us because we looked at the aerial photos and it shows that it's nowhere near what Donald says. Is this credible stuff, Kurt?
Hmm. Not me.
All right, I find that fascinating, though. Think about what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I'm going to email this. Ratings emissions from the New York Times. The facts come out, if you will. I mean, I look at this and I just say, wow, have you ever seen a more blatant admission inadvertently to what I'm saying, Kurt? Their whole story tries to tell the tale that they're the definitive guide in Donald's line and they know. But in there, the evidence they point to is so weak, Kurt, it's worse than fake news. I mean, they literally say we don't know what the accurate tally is. It's impossible to know. But then they tell you all day long how they do know and they're right and Donald's lying. And then they even admit the only way they even think they have a better handle on the crowd size is, well, they have an aerial photo. But the question should be asked to Donald, how are you guys gauging the crowd sizes? Because I'd like to know between Donald and these people, who has a more logical way to gauge a crowd size, Kurt? I was there. And I'm not telling you that it was, I don't know how to gauge if it was bigger than another one. But again, if Donald makes a claim that it was the biggest in history, are they really going to double down and call him a liar and then rely on this aerial photo for their evidence? You're not going to get very far with me on that. You could say Donald's lying, but I would say Donald has as much credibility as they do. They've proven to not be credible in this, Kurt. And I'm not going to determine if Donald's credible or not until I learn how he's gauging it. He might be right. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, I think it would sure be nice to have the truth about everything.
Anyway, any other comments on this story? I've never seen it so blatantly admitted to, but yet so intentionally misdiagnosed, mischaracterized, deceptively placed. Ratings admissions from the New York Times. The facts come out. Anything else on this one, Kurt?
I don't see anything else.
They even go back to World War II in their article, Kurt. I mean, it's crazy. What do they say about World War II in there?
Let's see. Looking down there.
And this is what I mean. They make their articles so long and so complicated and so hard to handle. And it's amazing. It's the last line.
Okay, it says the same poll shows that Mr. Trump's approval rating at 6 months was the lowest recorded.
Okay, so now we're going to accept their approval ratings on top of their, you know, photo view of what they say the people were at the inauguration, on top of the admission that they blatantly don't know what the other numbers really are. Now they're going to add insult to injury and be like, hey. So what they try to do is just by sheer number of guesstimations that they have, they're trying to set themselves up as the definitive de facto, you know, truth teller on this thing. But the more they do that, Kurt, the more I expose every one of them. How do they know what the ratings on a president are, Kurt? Because they call landlines? Good luck with that. Because they get caught manipulating the results, because they have margins of error in their results. What makes them the definitive, and what makes them trust that number any more than the aerial view number, or any more than the admission towards the top of the article that they don't even know and there's no way to get an accurate tally? But see, they make it sound over and over and over as if they're the definitive de facto truth teller on this. But they got caught in their lie inadvertently, Kurt. I just find it fascinating. Is there a more blatantly evident example, Kurt, than that one?
Not that I can think of right now.
And that one's pretty in your face. All right, townhall.com is in the news and worth discussing, Kurt.
Mm-hmm.
We did a story yesterday that was interesting, and you pointed out that good, honest folks are starting to get together on some of these efforts, and I think it's great news.
Yeah, and there was a Star Parker feature story. She's a a black American lady, you know, that has done in my opinion, great work, kind of like Ben Carson has as a man, a male black American, and yet they don't want to talk about her much. But the Town Hall guys pick up the same story that WorldNet Daily promoted, and the headline they put is Bogus Racist Claims Against Trump.
And I sure like their headline, Kurt.
Yeah.
But again, now you got Town Hall and WorldNet Daily working together. I think that's great news. Now, I don't know if they're really working together or if one just picked up a story from the other and they keep an eye on each other's news. I don't know. All I know is when
she's,
syndicated.
I know that she's, and so that she sends her articles, as far as I understand, kind of like Ann Coulter does to different people.
Maybe it's a deal between Town Hall and WND. Maybe it's just that this columnist has to deal with both of them separate from, I don't know the answers. All I know is it's good news, and it's good for Christian, conservative, constitutional, moral organizations to work together. We don't have an affiliation with WND or Town Hall in a literal contractual sense of any kind. We just watch both of them because they have great news. But anyway, I think it's great news if you ask my opinion. Bogus, racist claims against Trump writes this, in my opinion, incredible Christian black lady. Why is it incredible? Because she stands for the truth. All right. That's good news in my opinion. Wow. Star Parker deserves credit. All right, Radio Giant iHeart's on the news, Kurt. We've been watching this story for quite a while, too.
Yeah, now apparently, Sam, they had a 106, this is according to the Wall Street Journal, but iHeart had a $106 million interest payment that was due, and, well, they've decided to miss it. They say it's good news. Yeah, that's what they say. They say they're likely to file for bankruptcy protection as early as next month after a decade of ballooning debt and faltering growth. They say it's going to draw the curtain on one of the biggest leveraged buyouts before the 2008 financial crisis. Wow. 856 what? Terrestrial stations as part of this.
Does that mean iHeart's melting down, Kurt, or what does that mean?
Well, they say it's not. It's a good thing that they...
Oh, it's a phenomenal thing.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So let me understand this, in my opinion, fake news stuff going on, Kurt. iHeart missed a $106 million interest payment, kicking off a 30-day countdown in which they're trying to renegotiate with creditors. They'll try to reach a deal to restructure their debt. Bad news happens if they don't, and this is a good news piece?
Yeah, in the article on down, they say, this analyst, his name is Lance Vitanza, says, this company going bankrupt is not a problem. It's the solution. A bankruptcy could free up cash to invest in talent and programming, he said. Yeah, so there you go. Then,
in other words, if you dishonestly, you know, burn your creditors, you can then pay more belligerent, outrageous rates for what they would call talent. I would call, gatekeepers. I would call contractually controlled expensive personnel. Okay.
And then they say a spokeswoman for iHeart said, separate from our capital structure, iHeart Media has a strong operating business.
Yes, it does. It's so strong they're about to declare the BK. Yeah. It's so strong they're about to have, they already missed a what, $106 million interest payment, Kurt?
Yeah, they say, though, they had like a 30-day grace period in there, and so they're just kind of using that right now. They say this comes barely 2 months after their rival, that's number two Cumulus Media, declared bankruptcy, unable to service debt it had taken on for acquisitions.
So let me get this right. About, the number one and number two radio groups are declaring the big BK, and they're telling you it's phenomenal news. And then I run around and catch them at it, and they say that I'm involved in fake news.
Yeah. They say Pacifica Foundation, a nonprofit that operates a handful of politically liberal talk stations around the country, was on the brink of bankruptcy recently after it fell behind in rent payments for a broadcast antenna atop the Empire State Building used by its New York City station. And E.W. Scripps said last week it plans to sell all 34 of its radio stations as part of a restructuring.
So now you got three top broadcasters all on doing the BK dance, and they're not going to Burger King either. They're literally melting down, folks, and then what they say is this is a phenomenal thing, this is awesome, this is good, we're operating a very strong, stable business. I mean, these people are just on cloud goofball, Kurt. I mean, they're nuts on parade. They act like this is a good thing. This is a horrible
thing.
Well,
they
say
they
act like their businesses are on stable footing.
Mm-hmm. They say the world was different in 2006 when private equity firms Thomas H. Lee and Bain Capital, Mitt Romney's crew, entered into deal talks with iHeart, then known as Clear Channel Communications. They say started by Lowry Mays in 1972 as a single radio station, Clear Channel was the largest radio company in the U.S. at the time of the buyout, reinforced by outdoor advertising and concert promotion businesses. So they put them all together, you know.
Now I got a question.
They say the 26... Mm-hmm.
Kurt, how was it different then?
Well, here's what they say. The $26.7 billion buyout closed in 2008 on the eve of the financial crisis. Bain and THL had loaded up iHeart with more than $13.5 billion in new debt to fund the acquisition, on top of the company's existing $8 billion load, just as markets seized up and advertising rates cratered. The music landscape, too, was changing. In 2006, iHeart's main competition came from satellite radio and iPods. Later, it would have to contend with Spotify AB, which launched its on-demand streaming service in the U.S. in 2011. And with online advertisers, they were already siphoning off market share of print and broadcast media companies.
Can I give you a reality check, Kurt?
Yeah.
Things were no different in 2006 than they are now. Let me explain what I mean. Yes, things are different in terms of the landscape. Some things are more important. Other things are less important. Some things are focused on Some things are boom and bust and bubbling. Okay, all those economic things do change. But let me tell you what does not change, and that is the fundamentals of business. The bottom line is they took on too much debt, Kurt, and they can't handle it now. And what they should have done is not driven up the cost of radio stations by their belligerent offers, by their unrealistic debt capitalizations. You need to capitalize based on assets, not debts, on value, not on speculation. And you need to go back to business basics, if you will. And I'll tell all these Harvard and all these Stanford and all these big, you know, wig gurus up there at Yale and everything else, this reality check. You got to go back to asset-based reality, not speculative bubbles based on debt. And bottom line is these companies can't handle their interest payments because they literally ran the prices up and ran everybody else out of the biddings for these stations to the point of belligerence. They could never fund the commitment made on them. And that's the problem here. And until radio stations literally drop by like 90% of value in terms of pure dollars, they'll never be successful, Kurt. And the way you know this is you can do fundamentals by how much money can it bring in a stable, conservative, up and down market day in and day out. What dollars can that station bring in versus how many times revenue or how many times EBITDA or whatever you want to use to figure this out. This is basic stuff, Kurt. This is not rocket science. And they act like somehow the market's changed beyond their control, beyond their ability to understand. That's a lie. It isn't true. Markets always change. Details in markets of what's valuable and what's not always change, right? If I'm investing in landline phones right now, it's not going to do very well for me, okay? Things do change. But what doesn't change is these fundamental outlook business practices based on the less debt you have, the better. The more capitalization you have, the better. The more you analyze what it's going to cost to run that thing on a monthly basis. And that backing into, in other words, a profit margin. Contribution margin discussion. Those things are real important to getting to the bottom line of what it takes to run, and you shouldn't be offering more than you're going to get back in a realistic, what do I want to call it? Projections, as opposed to speculation scenario, Kurt. You can do projections about, hey, how much has that station made in the last 5 years on the average monthly? Great. How much can I really pay back? What would be a serviceable amount? And by the way, I used to be a mortgage broker in the personal loan space as well as the business loan space. I know a little bit about what I'm talking about when it comes to debt to income ratios, about what it really takes to carry a debt burden, Kurt. I'm pretty good at this kind of stuff. I've been around a little bit. And I know what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you right now, these people are lying to you when they say they didn't know and things have changed and they can't help it. And by the way, this economic meltdown is a phenomenal thing. They're lying on all counts, Kurt. It's disaster when somebody declares bankruptcy. Somebody gets caught holding the bag every time. And these companies want to use it to hire these belligerent, gatekeeping, out of control, somewhat talented folks and pay them a massive paycheck. Why don't they give some of these people realistic paychecks, maybe $50,000, $100,000 a year or something for a great one that brings in incredible ratings, maybe $150,000. But these people are paying millions and millions and millions and millions to their, quote, top talent based on ink contracts. Then they violate their contracts and get sued by people like Michael Savage and others. Then they run around and then they act like, hey, we got a phenomenal business model here, Kurt. And this bankruptcy is just a good thing. It'll let us redirect our money. They've failed miserably. And what they've done is they've replaced projections with speculation. What they've done is they've, instead of taking, you know, somebody who would be a private sector business owner who would evaluate this based on profitability, they've literally replaced it with a speculative bubble that says we got plenty of cash, we don't care. And if it goes bad, we'll make more money on declaring the bankruptcy, leaving somebody else holding the bag, than we will on sound business practices. And we've literally created this moral hazard based on these lies in the business world, Kurt. And I catch them at it, and then they tell you that I'm clueless and that I don't have a degree and that I'm full of fake news. Kurt, I've been right then and I'm right now. Not because I'm right, but because I'm sticking to business fundamentals to which they have jettisoned long ago. Isn't that the real discussion, Kurt?
Well, yeah, it's truth in media. And, that's why President Trump's phrase about fake news is so
spot on.
On target, yeah.
I hear that. Anyway, all I can tell you is you got bogus racist claims against the Donald. You got these people lying in the media. All right, Mike Lee's in the news. We ought to talk about him before the end of the hour, Kurt. He speaks out boldly, nobly, and independently, and good for the mic.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about him a number of times. Lately he was in that crash with that truck or whatever, but the headline from conservativereview.com, Senator Mike Lee, : we should be rushing to ban abortion at 20 weeks. Subheadline, our abortion laws are as extreme as the abortion laws in Vietnam, in China, and in North Korea. Chris Pandolfo is the author there. But it says a lot, Sam.
It says a lot, but Mike Lee really, in my opinion, points out the facts here, Kurt.
Yep.
What are the facts on this case? Basically, the facts, as I know them, are basically that, hey, we're hanging out with folks like China, North Korea, Vietnam, and we're literally out of step with the majority of the nations of the world on this pro-death agenda, Kurt. And Mike Lee says we should be rushing to ban abortion at 20 weeks. I can completely agree with Mike. He's the only member of the Utah delegation that I know that spoke out so boldly.
Mm-hmm.
Is the mainstream press covering this, Kurt, or is this a fact you got to kind of hunt for?
This is... Oh, well,
they almost couldn't bury this more if they tried, right, Kurt?
That's right. That's right.
It takes you and I to, what, point it out?
Mm-hmm. Good point.
Wow. I just find it fascinating. I just find it fascinating that Mike Lee's speaking out and nobody's covering it. Where's the Utah News? Where's the conservatives to say, you know what, good on Mike Lee. He's right as rain on this one, Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's not on their list of the... well-approved guys.
I'd like to get an up or down understanding of where the other members of Congress from the Utah and other states' delegations are on this one, Kurt. We know where Mike Lee stands.
Yeah.
Where do the rest stand for pro-life, huh? All right, hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Hard-hitting news and networks refuse to use, always on tap when you're listening to LibertyNewsRadio.com and the LibertyRoundtable.com radio talk show. It's LibertyRoundtable.com. We ask you, if we provide value... If we provide news the networks refuse to use, if you believe that we, along with other media, the new media taking center stage, have a value, then please reciprocate. Donate today. Every penny helps us grow our presence in the media. LibertyRoundtable.com, we declare that we, the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America, where you help this nation shall endure.